Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. Thank you, gentlemen. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. We're so glad that you could be here today as we kick off this new year strong. I hope you brought your Bible today. You're going to need it. We're going to be in several places, but we're going to get started in the book of Colossians. And so if you have a Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn there with me now. Colossians chapter 1. Today's the first Sunday of 2020. Can you believe it? So happy new year, happy new decade. In light of that, I got to ask the question. It's a New Year's resolution question. You guys got one this year? You guys got one? Seems like people are kind of split on the whole New Year's resolution thing. Some love it, some don't love it. Some of you are like, man, New Year's resolutions are so 2019. Well, I'm kind of a New Year's resolution guy. Some of you are this way. Like me, for example, a lot of you are like this. I love the satisfaction of choosing a resolution, choosing a goal, and kind of working towards that. And then the satisfaction, right, when you actually see it fulfilled or accomplished. Doesn't that feel good? Feels good, right? And it feels good, doesn't it? Feels good. And we like that. You kind of get that check, check, accomplished, check, hashtag winning 2020, going strong. We love that, and in all seriousness, here's what I'm going for in 2020. You guys ready with this? With God's help, this is my prayer. It's for myself, for my family. Here's what I'm going for this year, 2020. My hope is, my desire is that I would live and trust and wait on the Lord and believe in Him like never before. I believe 2020, great things ahead. I believe that for our families. I believe that for our church family. Big part of that will be you and me getting on God's program and getting firmly rooted in Christ. And I love what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. In fact, if you're there, you can take a peek at it with me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. By the way, this would be a fantastic memory verse for you, fantastic memory verse for your family. This is so good. It says this, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith." That's what we're going for this spring. One of our brothers here from the church texted me this week. He said, "Hey, Jason, how can I pray for you?" By the way, thank you, Jay. That meant a lot. I said, please pray that Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 could be fulfilled in our life and in our family, that we, our children, my wife, as we've received Christ Jesus the Lord, that we would walk in Him. That's my desire. And I pray that that's your desire this morning, that we would be firmly rooted and built up in Christ, established in our faith. I can't tell you how encouraged I've been. Christine and Lori and Kevin, just to see how you've handled the last, 96 hours. And it's evidence of how you are. You're firmly rooted in Christ. And trials and hardships in life, that's where they really reveal this to us, don't they? My hope for myself and for my family, that we too would be firmly rooted in Christ. Next Sunday, Pastor Scott will be kicking off a new sermon series, which we are very excited about. It's going to be a verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Colossians. And make sure that you're here for that. By firmly rooted, what we're talking about is being rooted in Christ and in our relationship with Christ. That's what we're going for in the first part of 2020. Christ is the goal. He is the end. It's He, that we want to grow nearer to. By firmly rooted, we're talking about an unshakable commitment to Christ and His gospel in 2020. By firmly rooted, we're talking about an unstoppable commitment to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope that He is for all mankind. By firmly rooted, we're talking about an unwavering commitment to being a light shining bright in our community, in the midst of our neighbors, and to stay faithful to what Jesus is calling each and every single one of us to. And so this year, no static Christianity. Amen? Amen? No static Christianity. This year I say, let's step it up. Let's go after it. This year, with dynamite in our hands, let's blow up the dam of just going through the motions and standing up and sitting down and singing our songs and checking attendance. I was there on Sunday. Let's get real about it. Let's get rooted in our faith, in Christ, in our relationship with Christ. You up for that? Let's do it together. And so with that said, let's pray and then we'll get to work. Man, we have so much in store. So excited that you're here. Father in heaven, God, thank you that you're such a good, good Father. And even thank you for the time of prayer we had just a minute ago, Lord. And thank you for the reminder from Pastor Scott and through Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and just their faith and their example before us to trust you in circumstances that are, man, they just shake us. Father, I pray this morning that each and every single one of us here this morning could once again come back to you, Lord, looking to get rooted and grounded and built up and strong in our faith, that we could walk with you, O Lord. God, that we could be solid and like just pillars and like oak trees and just strong in our faith and useful to you and to your kingdom and to your purposes. And God, that we could be a light shining bright here in our city. And God, that our marriages, our families, our children, our workplaces, our neighborhoods could be different because of who our God is. And so, Lord, we're thankful for this new year, Lord. We're thankful for this new decade. We commit it to you now. We ask that you would speak to us. We pray in Jesus' good name. Amen? Amen. Notice there, Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Today we're looking at four keys to getting firmly rooted in 2020. And as I said, next Sunday, Pastor Scott will be leading us through a detailed exposition of Colossians. As you guys know, verse by verse preaching is kind of our bread and butter here. Today it's more of a topical message looking at some different parts of Apostle Paul's life that will help us get firmly rooted in Christ. And so today I'm really opening the door and acquainting us with the author of Colossians, who is the Apostle Paul. So notice there, it says there, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. You can stop there. And so here's your first pop quiz of 2020. According to verse 1, who is the author of Colossians? Paul. Good, that's it. January 5, you're already winning. All right, 2020, it's going to be good. And so Colossians here begins with a greeting from Paul. He's the Apostle Paul. Maybe you're new to the Bible and you're like, I don't really know too much about him. Let me introduce you to him. Paul towers over the New Testament, unlike anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul is a combination of an absolutely brilliant mind, an absolutely indomitable will, and yet he has a tender heart. He's a unique man of Jewish descent, and yet he was a Roman citizen by birth. He possessed a combination of culture of Greek and Jew gained from his rearing in Greek culture and training by his Jewish teachers. He even became a Pharisee before his conversion. And like so many of you, isn't this true? We owe our life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's true. We owe our life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet when it comes to the riches and the depths of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nobody takes us deeper into that than the Apostle Paul himself, through his writings, through the epistles. And so in the weeks and months ahead, this apostle is a faithful man delivering God's word to a church. It's not a horizontal focused motivational speech. It's not a man-centered pep talk, but rather a word from God to a people. And so through the sacred letter, we too will be blessed. We too will be edified. We too will be encouraged. And as a result of this sermon series in the weeks and months ahead, we will get, I pray, firmly rooted in Christ. And so with that said, let's get into it. Four keys to getting rooted in 2020. The first one is this. Firmly rooted in Christ means I have a clear conversion and evidence of life change. And so for that, why don't we go to Acts chapter 22. Would you turn there with me? Acts chapter 22. Firmly rooted in Christ means I have a clear conversion and evidence of life change. Acts chapter 22. And by clear conversion and life change, I'm talking about, and really you should be asking yourself this, as you look at your life, and others should be able to testify to this as well, the question is, can you see a clear distinction of what your life was like before Christ and now since coming to Christ? That's the question. Can you see a clear distinction? Can you see a change? Can you see evidence of a clear conversion? That's what we're talking about. Apostle Paul's life is such a great example of that. Notice there, Acts 22, verse 3. Before Christ, Paul says here, as it's recorded, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all here today. I persecuted this way to death. This is before Jesus. I persecuted the way, Christians, to death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. In Acts chapter 7, we're told that Paul was even there when the church's first martyr was put to death. His name was Stephen. Paul was there. Angry mob stoned him. Paul was wholehearted in his agreement. Notice this, all before Christ. Verse 6, but it happened that I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, and a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell right to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered him, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. In verse 14 says that Paul was told, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why will you delay? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And so once again, firmly rooted in Christ means I have a clear conversion and evidence of life change. And maybe you're like me, but one of my favorite times here at our church, isn't this true, is when we have baptisms. Don't you love that? I love hearing the testimonies of, this was what my life was like before Christ, and this is how I came to Christ, and this is what's happened in my life since coming to faith in Christ. I love that. It's so powerful, isn't it? We love those times. And the key to a powerful testimony is a clear explanation of your life before Christ. This is where I was at. And you don't need to dwell on it too much. You don't need to brag about your past and struggles just to know enough to share your need for Christ. And the truth is, some of you are followers of Jesus, but you've never been baptized as a believer. And maybe in 2020, it's time that you were baptized. And so you share your life before Christ and then how you came to Christ. And so this is where you give details about why you became a Christian and how you became a Christian. And then you share your life after coming to faith in Christ. And that's what we're looking at right now in the life of Paul. This is where you share some changes that have taken place, maybe in your behavior, or perhaps in your character, or in your attitude. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Christians still struggle, don't we? Life is far from perfect. But what's different about your life now? All right? It's during baptism that we have that perfect opportunity to testify to what Christ has done and is doing in our life. Never get tired of those stories. You see, the key to being firmly rooted is having a story of when you met Christ. And so now as you look into the mirror of God's word this morning, do you have that for yourself? That's the question. And so now moving on, what changed for Paul after Christ? Let's look at what happened to Apostle Paul's life after the Lord Jesus got a hold of him. For that, Galatians chapter 1. This is so good. You can turn there if you'd like. I'll read it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 talks about this, but it says this: when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult with flesh and blood, verse 17 says, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus, verse 18. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days, 19. But I did not see any other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Notice there, verse 23. Here's what everyone was saying about Paul. They kept saying, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. And so Paul was a butcher of Christians, but now he's preaching the gospel. It says in verse 24 that they glorified God because of me. Praise the Lord. That is a radical life change. And so after Paul's conversion, a massive change came about in his life. And through his experience on the Damascus Road, it turned him from being a killer of Christians into a lover of Jesus and his people. And the thing about all of this is that Paul didn't claim some private experience between him and the Lord. I mean, he's stating a public fact. Hundreds, probably thousands of people testified to the reality of his life change. And the same should be able to be said of us. Is there a change in our life? Is Christ changing you if you are a follower of him? Paul ended up being used by God to plant countless churches, to write a majority of the New Testament, and he ended up losing his life just like the church's first martyr. And so let me ask you this. Let's personalize this for ourselves. This morning as you sit here today, do you have a story of when you came to Christ? Do you have a story? Do you have a conversion story? Of course, the details are going to be different than Paul's, but the point is, do you have a story of when you came to Christ and how he has changed your life? Do you have a story before Christ, after Christ? You see, getting firmly rooted in 2020 means that I have a clear conversion and evidence of life change. If you have any hesitation about that, maybe you're not sure. I think so. No, I don't think so. If that's what you're thinking here this morning, please listen. If you don't have a conversion story, the truth is you probably don't have a conversion. You might have religion, you might have some hanging around the church, but that's about it. And so for you, if the answer is I'm not sure, or I don't think so, or no, then I'd like to encourage you in this very moment just to kind of lean in and listen. In fact, if it would help you, you could even close your eyes if you'd like. If you feel comfortable with that. You don't have to pack up. We're not done. You're not going anywhere. But here in this moment, I'd love just to ask you a few questions to kind of press this matter home a little bit more. As you look into your life, as you examine yourself, do you remember a time of when you turned, of when you repented? This is how I used to live, but now I live this way. You don't need to know the date. You don't need to know maybe the exact time, but you need to know that you know. And as you look inside this morning, do you know in your heart? Do you know? Can you be honest with yourself? Do you have that story? Do you know? As you look at Apostle Paul's life and you see, man, look at what happened to him when the Lord Jesus got a hold of him. Can you see that for yourself? Can you look at a time in your life when you turned from your sin, when you repented, as the Bible calls it, and embraced the Lord Jesus by faith? Do you have a story of when you've surrendered? He is Lord. He is my God. He is my master. I serve him. I submit to him. I surrender to him. Do you have that story? Have you done that? This week, there was another church shooting. Did you guys hear about it? In Texas. It happened again. So sad. Any given Sunday, just like this one, two people killed. Terrible. As a matter of fact, I think it was maybe a year ago, not far from the church in Texas where this happened last Sunday, another church down the street, 26 people were killed one Sunday. Now let's think about this. If you were to step out of here today and something tragic were to happen, this isn't a scare tactic, it's just it's reality. It's part of living in a sinful world. If tragedy were to happen, the question is this: are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready for that meeting? Can you imagine what that would be like? Are you ready for that moment? Like the Apostle Paul, have you embraced the righteousness of Jesus Christ as the provision for the forgiveness of your sin? If the answer is, I'm not sure, or I think I might have, or no, God's word promises, Jesus said this in fact, that he who comes to me, I will under no circumstance send him away. Which means today, your conversion story could begin. And so, if you sense in your heart even right now that I might be speaking to you, let me just invite you to come talk with Pastor Scott or myself, Pastor Robert, after the service, maybe Randy, one of our elders, and we'd love to help kind of solidify this in your heart, maybe explain a few things. We'd love to pray with you. Please don't leave today without getting that sorted out. And so, four keys to getting firmly rooted in 2020, straight from the Apostle Paul's life. Let's look at the second one. For that, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, you're going to want to see this. This is so good. Romans chapter 7, firmly rooted in Christ, second point is this, means that I don't have to be perfect, nor do I have to pretend to be. This is one of the things that I really, really appreciated about the Apostle Paul. He knew that he was not a perfect man, and he did not hide his flaws. He didn't pretend they weren't there. He didn't pretend. He actually made them an occasion to help others fight for their sanctification, their holiness, and their joy. It's remarkable. In fact, one of the things that really saddens me about the greater church, not our church in particular, but the greater church, is that people feel the pressure, Christians feel the pressure, have you guys noticed this? To be fine all of the time. How are you today? I'm fine. How are you today? I'm fine. Yeah, but how are you really? I already told you I'm fine. All right, so you're fine, I'm fine, I guess everybody's fine. But here's the thing, like deep down inside, if we're honest, we know that. We know that we're not fine, but yet we feel the pressure to pretend like everything's fine when it's not. And what I love about Apostle Paul is he didn't play that game. Look there, notice Romans chapter 7. You're not going to believe this. Check this out. Notice there, verse 14. Paul's just being honest. This is an apostle. He spent a lot of time with the Lord, wrote a good chunk of the Bible, planted a lot of churches. Notice there, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. Jason, what was he doing? I don't know. but we get a glimpse into his life. Get a glimpse into his journey of sanctification. I know that I shouldn't look. I know that I shouldn't touch. But it's like I do the very thing that I hate, verse 16. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. I thought Paul was a Christian. He is. But he's still encumbered. He's still battling with his flesh, this unredeemed part of him, his flesh, and it's a battle. I know that I shouldn't look. I know that I shouldn't touch. Verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do right. I want to pursue the Lord. But the doing it of good is not. Verse 19, for the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil thing that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me. Listen up. We are not fine. We are not perfect. We are in process. We shouldn't pretend to be perfect, because we are fighting a battle, and a battle is being waged within us. We face outside enemies in the world and the devil that war against us, and there's even a more constant opponent within, seeking to establish a foothold in the life of every single believer here today. It's our sin nature. It's a relentless battle. Paul talks about it today in the passage we just looked at. Between our new man in Christ and our old sinful flesh. Do you guys know this battle? Do you know it? Do you know it? You should. If you do, it's evidence that you are a Christian. If you feel the intensity of this internal strife, it's because you are converted to Christ. And so you have two rivals diametrically opposed to each other inside, and they are hostile against one another. Really, that's what Paul's talking about in the passage we just read. It's an internal strife on the battlefield within our very own soul. Firmly rooted in Christ means I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to pretend that I'm perfect. Like the Apostle Paul, it's good and right that we too are vulnerable with our own imperfections. Make that your aim in 2020. Stop being fine. And let's follow the Apostle Paul's example. Amen? I love what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. It says this: the saying is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ in the world came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Man. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. That's fantastic. Here's what that means. It's okay not to be fine. In our deepest humanity, apart from God, we are simply flesh, like Paul. There is no good thing that dwells within us. And now here's a word of caution. Maybe it's a word of correction for you this morning. Here's the thing. The problem with many Christians is not their despair. For most, it's not that we are just like Paul, grieving over how far we still got to go in the sanctification journey. The problem with many Christians is not their despair. It's their lack of despair. It's a problem. It's true. The problem with many Christians is not their despair, it's their lack of it. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I think I'm doing all right. I'm fine, I think. I mean, I'm fine. I'm better than most. I'm better than most. And if that's you this morning, then you, my friend, are farthest from fine. Remember that it was the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees who did not come to Jesus for forgiveness simply because they didn't think they needed it. It's the smooth-sailing Christian who does not come to the cross for deliverance from the power of sin in their lives because they do not agonize over their condition like Paul did. And so my concern for us this morning is that some of us do not have this kind of agony where we are striving and laboring and cooperating in this progressive sanctification whereby the Lord Jesus Christ is making us more like Himself. But it's a battle. It's like World War III inside of me and you. And so what do we do instead? It's easier to pretend. And so we say we're fine when we're not. Being rooted in Christ means I don't have to be perfect, nor do I have to pretend to be. And so as a side note, before we move on and look at our third key to getting firmly rooted in 2020, let me just say this. Our small group ministries are the best place to have these real conversations where we can be more authentic, where we can lean in towards transformation, and where we can talk about more things than, hey, I'm perfectly fine. Thank you very much. And so now notice there, here's the third one, third key to getting firmly rooted in 2020. We see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn there with me if you don't mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. My third point is this, firmly rooted in Christ means I have a strong devotion to my calling. My calling, even in the face of hardship or suffering. What I love about the Apostle Paul is Paul was utterly devoted to what the Lord Jesus had called him to what God had entrusted to him. Man, he was committed. He was sold out, even if it required him to suffer. You don't have to turn there, but it says in Acts 20, before I read the 2 Corinthians verse. In Acts chapter 20, Paul says this, I do not account my life of any value nor is precious to myself, if only I may do one thing, that I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the ministry? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was determined. Paul was focused. Paul was purposeful. Paul was unwavering. Now look at an example of that in the passage I told you to turn to. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Amazing, so inspiring. Every time I read this, I'm like, wow, this guy, so strong in his devotion to his calling. You got to see this. Notice there, Paul's like, I served Christ, verse 23, halfway through it. I served Christ in far more labors and far more imprisonment. I was beaten without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brethren. So much danger. That's my life. Verse 27. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights. In hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And if that weren't enough, check out verse 28. Verse 28 is like a glimpse into what it's like for Pastor Scott, what it's like for those in pastoral ministry. If all the hardship and all the beatings and like treading water at sea and just kind of living half afraid and always healing from scars. And if that weren't enough, you know what was hardest of all? You guys see it there, verse 28? Apart from such eternal, external things, there is the like if that weren't enough, there's the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. That's the greatest weight of all. And so once again, Paul was focused, Paul was purposeful, without question, he was determined. He's unwavering in his commitment to his God-given mission, knowing that it would cost him hardship, sufferings, they were unbearable. And so now let's talk about us. Let's talk about you. In this new year, in this new decade, I think wired within each and every man and woman and student here today, it's just kind of hardwired within us. There's a desire for us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Kind of something within our fabric, within our being, is that we want to make our life count. We want to make our days matter. I feel like all of us have that in common. We want life to be more about simply just waking up and then going to work and then coming home and then going to sleep and then doing it the next day. We want more than just that. We want to have purpose. I trust this morning you want to make a dent on eternity. And if that's going to happen, you need to have clarity about on what God is calling you to. And then when you have clarity on it, you have to make a decision on how you're going to live to protect that as a priority. You need to be focused on what really matters. That's what we see in Paul. If we want to enjoy the satisfaction of making a difference, then you need to know with certainty what matters most. When you want to be remembered one day, when your days come to an end, it means living on purpose today. You need to be committed to that. You got to protect it. You got to fight for it. And so once again, the key to being firmly rooted in Christ is I have to have a strong devotion to my calling, even in the face of hardship, perhaps even suffering. And so if you're like, well, I'm not really sure what that is. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a church plant. I'm not a mission. I don't know. I'm not a missionary. I don't know what it is, Jason. What am I called to? And so here's a few things that all of us should prioritize. Go ahead and write these down. Got a bulletin here. You should be committed to this list here. This is important for each and every one of us. Maybe you're in the midst of a busy season of life. Maybe you're a student going to class. Maybe you just got married. Maybe you're raising a family. Maybe you're starting a career. Perhaps you're retired. Maybe God isn't calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God isn't calling you to be a church planter. But listen, I can tell you that God is calling you to the following. Number one, a relationship with God. That's where it all starts. Jesus was asked once, Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Jason, what should I do in 2020? Just give me something. Focus on your relationship with God. All right? Get that right, and you'll find that things just start to fall into place. The top priority on the list is loving God with all that we are. And frankly speaking, all of us fail at that. And so would we in 2020 make that our goal, that we would strive to draw closer to Christ, strive to be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. Here's another one, number two. Lay it on me, Jason. Here we go. Loving others. Loving others. Jesus continued. This is right out of Matthew 22, by the way. First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law, demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Next to God, we love people. And so of the million things begging for your attention this year, man, if you could just commit yourself to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, I'm telling you, that in itself, that leaves a mark. That leaves a great impact. If we love God, by the way, it would be impossible not to love others. And so, Jason, I mean, we live in a city with, what is it, 1 million, 2 million people? A lot of people in our community. A lot of people here in Central Florida. Like, do I have a priority here? I mean, who do I love most? Can you kind of give me maybe some parameters on loving my neighbor? Obviously, a lot of people, a lot of things going on. We have limitations. So who should I prioritize? Number one, our families, all right? This is a big deal. This is such a big deal. It goes without saying, but you got to say it, our families. We should realize that our families are our first ministry. Yeah, but what about planting churches and being a missionary and praying for people and feeding people that are hungry? And let's start with your family. Get that right. All right? Love your family. Show them the love of Christ. And it's not just like teaching them the Ten Commandments and you got to obey your mommy and daddy. It's teach them to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We must first show the love of Christ to our family. Our family. Number two, our workplace. All right? It's where we get an income. It's how we provide for our needs. It's a great opportunity to spread the love of God to those who don't know Him. Let your coworkers praise God for how fantastic you are as a coworker and the way that you treat them. Here's another one. Our church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, starting with your family. And then your workplace, your church. Man, you should, if you're a part of our church family here, these people right here, love them, serve them, care for them. God is doing great things here at the Grove Bible Chapel. Amen? In 2020, my goodness, I am so excited to see what the Lord will do. But know this, and this is true. The church is filled with imperfect people. It's true, right? You've heard it said that the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. It's the love of Christ that binds us together, all right? It's the love of Christ that makes this work really well. Love your church family. Number four, love our neighbors, all right? A lot of people that we could reach out to, how about you reach out to the people that are like next door to you or across the street, all right? Love the neighbor that always has the loud parties, all right? Love the neighbor that has that dog that just barks all day long. Love the neighbor that, like, don't they see that their grass is really long right now? Love them too, all right? Love your neighbor. Love them. Remember, as a Christian and as an ambassador for Christ, we must love our neighbor. We must reach out to them. We must pray for them. And lastly, let me just remind you that we are not our own. If you have called on the name of Jesus and you've been saved from your sins, understand that He is Lord. He is Master. You are servant. You are slave. You serve Him. Don't forget that. Jesus has purchased us with His blood. Bible tells us that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord. Focus on your family, your place of work, your church, your neighbors. And as a good steward, understand your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Give attention to how your mental health is, your emotional health, your spiritual health, your physical health. Take care of what God has given you so that it can endure for the long haul, however many days the Lord may give you. And so moving on, this is our last one. Check out Romans chapter 8. Would you turn there with me? Firmly rooted in Christ means I have a high view of God's sovereignty and a burden for those who are not saved. Firmly rooted in Christ means I have a high view of God's sovereignty and a burden for those who are not saved. And would you look at that? I'm out of time. Man, that was going to be a good one. Why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? We'll have to come back to it another time. We're going to get you out of here so that you can start applying the things that you have heard so that you can be firmly rooted in 2020. So why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? Unbelievable. Such a good morning, though. Jason, I'd like to know, why the firmly rooted theme? Why firmly rooted? Here's why. Because this year, this decade, we are going to live and trust and wait on and believe the Lord like never before. That's our desire. That's our aim. And as we do that, 2020, I'm telling you, great things ahead. Great things can be in store for your marriage and for your family. Just imagine the effects of you endeavoring in 2020 to draw near to and to put roots deep into your relationship with Christ. Imagine how that'll affect your marriage, your family, your parenting, your place of work, how that'll bless your church family, your small groups, your neighbor across the street. As I said, next Sunday, it's going to be a great Sunday. Make sure that you're here, all right? Do me a favor and spread the word. Invite a friend. We're beginning a new sermon series, as I've already shared, out of the book of Colossians. It's going to be fantastic. Make sure that you're here for that. It's going to be a verse-by-verse journey where we will, week after week, get a clear vision where we will behold a glorious panorama of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we seek to get firmly rooted into Him. You'll be blessed. You'll be changed. Your life will be better for it. In the weeks and months ahead as we go through this together, you're not going to want to miss out. And this year in 2020, would we be firmly rooted in Him? You ready for it? You up for it? Let's do it together. Why don't we stand? I'd love to pray for us. Father in heaven, God, thank you that you're such a good God and that you would allow us this morning just to draw near to you. Lord, thank you for our brother, our friend, the Apostle Paul. Jesus, we are most thankful for you and for your gospel and for what you have done in our life. And when it comes to the riches and the depth of your gospel, we thank you for our brother and friend, Paul. Thank you how he instructs us. Thank you for his example, how it inspires us to follow you wholeheartedly. I pray this year, Lord, in 2020, that we could endeavor to do this together. I pray, Father, as a church family, that as it says in Colossians 2, verse 6, that as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that we would walk in him. That each and every day that it could be our endeavor to walk with you, Lord, in a personal relationship where we are firmly rooted and being built up in him, established in our faith. And God, could our marriages and could our singleness and could our children and parenting and families and our extended relationship with family and our network of relationships at work and in the community, could they be blessed because of that? God, could we be firmly rooted? And like Paul, would our life be a testimony of what you, Jesus, can do when you get a hold of us? And so, Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we trust you. We worship you. We celebrate you in this place. And our worship continues now in Jesus' good name. Amen.